get in an expectation, praise God, because all through the Bible, and you don't just need to remember this when you're at church, but all through the Bible, when you read about them guys and them ladies and them women and all of them, David, when he was a young teenager, they expected God, and God brought a manifestation to them. And we're just generations on down from them. He's the same God today as he was back yonder in Genesis. He's the same God. Jesus said in Hebrews, he said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Haggai over there, God said, I am the Lord your God, and I change not. So generations may change, people may change, our bodies may change, things may change, but the kingdom stays the same. And that is why we can put our trust in a God that don't change with the wind. He don't change with the culture. He don't change with the government. He don't change with any of that, praise God. But if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be The Steps of the Righteous. And, you know, if you're here this morning and you're not born again, slip your hand up. Raise your hand up. You're not saved. I want to lead you in a sinner's prayer this morning, praise God. Everybody saved. Glory to God. I'm talking to every one of you. There's not a person in the house I'm not talking to. The Steps of the Righteous. Hallelujah. How many knows that I'm glad that I found out in the Word, and when I get to the Scripture here in a little bit, that God ordains my steps. God puts His approval on my life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I learned how to walk in those steps. See, our steps are ordained and ordered by the Lord. But we got to learn to walk with Him. Amen? Walk with Him. I thought about Sandy when she ended up at Walmart. She didn't really want to go to Walmart. She went to Walmart, and somebody up there had been set free from something for about 8 or 9 months. And all she done is went to Walmart to get something for them teenagers. She's trying to spoil y'all, whatever it was, you know. But you know, she ended up at the right place at the right time, and God had her in there, you know. And I thought about it. I thought about, what if she wasn't serving the Lord? What if she wasn't concerned about church and the youth and their hearts and their walk with God? And she couldn't have been directed by the Lord in Walmart to pray for that woman. And maybe she'll get the results of that prayer later, running into her again. Who knows? But that's not my point. But she's been praying. She's been asking the Lord to direct her steps, you know, and all of that. And when your heart is in that place, He's able to come in there and direct you, whether you realize it or not. Hallelujah. How many knows that the steps of the righteous, He'll put you in the right place at the right time? I don't believe you're in this service this morning because you just decided to go to church. I don't believe you're listening to me by Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. However you're listening to us this morning, the Sunday school, what a powerful, liberating, set you free service we had, anointed preaching of God's Word on us, helping us not to judge people. Boy, I'm telling you, that was awesome. Because it's real easy for us to get in. Praise God. If you didn't hear that, I'm not going to preach it to you. I sat back there and I thought, thank you, Lord, you're helping me not to judge. Thank you, Lord, you're helping me not to cast sentence on nobody that ain't measuring up to what my standards are. What I think the standards are in your Word, God, that's nothing to me. Lord, all I do is just serve you and preach your Word and keep my opinion and judgment out of it, God. And your Word, you said, would set us free. Amen. I got some good stuff out of Sunday school. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. It's available to you, praise God. But the steps of the righteous, He puts us in the right place at the right time. In the right church, right place of working. He does. He directs our steps, you know. We might have a thought. We might have a thought why we ended up where we were, or circumstances may have put us into a place where we didn't realize we was going to be. But because our heart is to serve the Lord and know the Lord and follow the Lord, then He puts us in the right place at the right time. Amen? I believe you're in the right place at the right. I believe I'm in the right church here in 2026. I could be pastoring anywhere. I've got invitations to be a lot of places. I've got I've had opportunities to pastor churches and get salaries and all kinds of things, and all the time knowing that that's not the will of God. See, I wasn't in a place to where I'm putting out fleeces to God. God, if this is your will, don't do that. Gideon did that. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus hadn't went to the cross. Jesus hadn't ascended. And we do not serve God by fleeces. God showed me 5 red cars to determine whether that is dangerous for a Christian to do that. That is very dangerous. The Bible don't tell us to do that. Jesus never give us the illustration. He didn't say, Lord, let 5 soldiers pass by while I'm praying if it's your will for me to go to the cross. Right? Lord, confirm it to me, Lord, because I've got a lot against me down here, God. Confirm it. Let four birds fly over, Lord. Jesus never give us that kind of example. But you know, that's a doctrine in the body a lot of times today, because they really want to know the will of God. It's out of ignorance. They really want to know the will of God, so they sit down and they say, God, if it's your will, let a car go by. If it's your will, don't do that. I did it one time as a young Christian, and I was believing God for something. I thought about it. This is not my sermon, but this is free. But I was working for the other man, didn't own my own business, and I was asking God, I don't even remember what it was I was asking God, but I just remember, you know, I told God, I said, God, that day I said, God, within an hour, if 10 red trucks goes by, I know what I'm asking you is your will. And I looked at my watch. I literally did it. And 9 trucks went by in 1 hour. And I said, well, I'm going to give it 5 more minutes. Another red truck didn't go by, and I was disappointed because I didn't get confirmation through the 10 trucks at God's will, when what I was asking God was God's will. I found out just a little bit later on when God began to show me that he didn't want me living by, give me signs. Give me a sign that this is your will. There is a sign, and his name is Jesus. Your sign, your direction is the Word of God. And he will, through the Word of God, reveal to you the will of God. Himself, the Holy Spirit. I've had people speak to me, oh, you're so anointed, go here, and you're so anointed, go there, just ministry. I've had people to come to me, oh, I could help you in your business, you know, and different things, you know, and be promising a lot of things and go to the Lord about it, and he don't say nothing, and I don't do nothing. I learned that if God's not telling me to do anything and I'm asking him and he's not giving me an answer, it's not for me to be moving and doing. It's for me to wait on him and be patient and be satisfied where I'm at, but reach further, hallelujah. But I've had God to say, nope, that's not my route. That's not my route. See, and God doing that, see, he's already ordered your steps. And then we endeavor to hear and walk and follow the Lord and the will of God for us, you know, and he brings the right people into our lives. That's why we tell our 2 grandkids right now, you're not dating. Boyfriend and girlfriend, that's useless. They're going to break up with you in school, and it's going to hurt your feelings, and you're going to come home, and then you're going to get over it, and then there's going to be another little boyfriend or girlfriend, and they're going to hurt your feelings because they're going to break up. They're going to like that. I mean, it's happening. That's terrible. That's terrible. Mentally to those kids and grandkids. So we're telling them now, and Travis tells you you're going to get married about 30. Now, that's a little stretch, isn't it? But what's happening is, see, that's protecting them. If you want to get to biblical standards, the parents pick the boyfriend, the husbands and the wives. You hear me? They picked them out. They wasn't hanging out in the parking lot. They went to town, they had things, all of that, and they through lineage and all that, seeking the Lord, they picked them out. But now we'll get off that. The step, y'all be led by the Holy Spirit. Right? Hallelujah. And I'm back on it again. Even Aubrey, I told her the other day, I said, Papa, I was going on your first date if you ever get one. I said, you're going to be driving, Papa, and Papa's going to be sitting in the middle. They ain't going to be able to touch each other. And you're going to be sitting over there. We're going to see how long he hangs around. You're going to have to date Papa. Because Papa loves this baby. Papa knows this. The Papa knows you don't know nothing about life yet. You're coming up, little spring chicken, that's good. You know, now boy, you want to fly. Whoo! You want to fly, you know. And all of, but we know that you're still grounded. We know you're on ground level. We know that you're going to get on elevators that's going to go a lot of stories higher than where you are. And we know a lot. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to teach her and his girlfriend, or I don't even like to call it that. I'm going to teach them about God. If y'all are dating some of my members here, teenagers, boys or girls, I need to know, are you born again? Because I need to know you to know that the Bible declares that that man, that boy, or that girl is not supposed to yoke to you unless you are a believer. That means you can't date. Can't hang out in the bedroom with the door on. Right? Take the door off the bedroom, get in the living room, hang out in here, and we're going to watch for them grandkids we watch with them, all kind of stuff. Them cartoons we have to watch every Tuesday. And we make sure them cartoons ain't cussing. Right? No cuss words in the cartoons. You think that's just being old? I don't listen to music with cussing. Right? I don't listen with, why? Because my steps are ordered by the Lord. And he says what is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Listen to the things that the spirit backs up. Watch the things that the spirit backs up. Not the things that the world backs up. Because it'll bring you confusion. It'll bring you destruction. It'll bring you into an emotional realm. He puts us in the right place. Favor. Favor is on the righteous. Whoo! Whoo, I'm favored. You're favored of the Lord. Hallelujah. You might not feel like you're favored this morning. It don't matter. The Bible says. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Now, you know, we can go against them steps. I mean, we can go against them. We wouldn't intentionally, I don't think, go against them. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, that we know where God is leading us. But if we're not careful, we've got an enemy. And we've got people that talk, opinions. And we have our emotions. We have our feelings. What we like, what we don't like. You know, and then we got the carnal side of us wants to feed off the carnal. But the spiritual side of us wants to feed off what things are good and what things are lovely and what things are a good report. And that's the things we want to think on. So we got to strategically live our life that we're going to walk in the ordained steps of God, even if we don't like it. Right? Even if we don't like it. Because in the steps that he's ordered for the righteous, You say, well, I'm not very righteous, and blah blah blah. See, you're going by your standards of how you're not, you've not got some things in your flesh worked out. Right? You can't live by that. Now you got to strive to come higher, come on out, and come on up, and all of that. But at the same time, you got to walk in the favor of God to get there. And the Bible says that me and you have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus. That means you ain't got to wait till you've got your body, your flesh under control, your temper, all that. I'm not trying to justify it, praise God, to walk in the favor of God. But you walk in the favor and it will begin to kill the dictates of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. It'll begin to kill those fleshly desires, hallelujah, that I'm not saying bad things either. Lust is just a strong desire to stay home from church. That's lust. Right? See, we think lust is whatever we think. No, lust is just a desire contrary to the will of God. Those kind of lusts, those kind of desires that we fight against, we stand against. The blessing is on the righteous. Might and power is on the righteous. Amen? The ability to move forward in God and have the nature of God is on the body of Christ. It is on the favored of God. We're highly favored and blessed of God to live and be like Jesus Christ. Think like Jesus. See, some of you got quiet. Don't get quiet. Get the louder. Us on the Alabama, I mean, the diehard Auburn fans, I'm telling you, we let them win, and they still keep believing they're going to win. It's some of the Auburn's like, man, you shouldn't preach. Now listen, I'm not all in conflict with these ball games. I could care less about the ball games. I'm not an Alabama fan. I thought one time, how could you be in Alabama and go for Auburn? Alabama. Right? I believe I broke some stronghold in some of y'all Auburn fans and Alabama fans over the years. Right? It's a game. You enjoy the game. Told Aiden one time, I can't never win. Aubrey wins every time. I said, stop. I said, it's a game. I told him, I said, it's only a game. Play the game. Don't be concerned if you lose. Just play the game. Enjoy the game. How many of those you got to enjoy walking with Jesus today? Amen? It's not a game. It's a winning team. Hallelujah. It's hard for me to pray for y'all Auburn folk and then pray for y'all Alabama folk to win. I mean, a house divided can't stand. So I just got to stay out of that, right? Whoever the best team is, they better be praying that's playing, right? And I guess if Alabama's got more faith than Auburn that God's supernatural will show up on their ball game, I guess they're going to be the long-term winners. Or Auburn the same way. That wasn't in my sermon either. Give me that Psalms 37. Teresa makes me wear Alabama stuff. She ain't into it like she used to be, but I'd have to wear it. I'm an Alabama fan. But when the Alabama ball game comes on, I don't sit in the living room with her. She plays with them, screams with them, jumps up with them, throw it. That was dumb. I mean, that referee called it wrong. I go to my shop not still hear the ball game through her. She didn't like that one. Praise God. Okay, now this one's free for y'all that borrow and don't pay back. This is not in my message either. The wicked what? And what? Don't ever borrow a dime from nobody and not pay it back. Ever. Ever. He puts me, if I do that, in the category of the wicked. That's wicked. Do not borrow money from somebody and not pay it back. Amen. That's godly. Came out of the Bible. Godly. He said, but the righteous, they pay it back and they give them a little more. They'll let you keep some of it. Right? So don't borrow money and not pay it back. If you buy a car, it blows up, you borrowed it. Right? What does it say for you to do? Pay it back. If you buy a house, you don't let it go back, what do you do for it with it? You pay for it. Well, no, don't start excuses. He said, do it. He said, don't borrow. The wicked does that. How many knows we're the righteous? We're not the wicked, right? We're the righteous. We're not the wicked. Well, I just can't afford. You've made all the excuses now that you can. If you're here or you're listening by way of however, your Bible says, because you can't see it on the screen, Psalms 37:21. If you're, say you're a Christian out there in Watch Me Land, and you have borrowed, and you never intended on paying it back, you are put in the category like the wicked. So if you have borrowed, go borrow money and pay it back if you have to. And then you will get the favor of God on your life. Because the righteous are favored. The wicked are not. They're not favored. Now, I know He reigns on the just and the unjust, but there are rewards to the obedient of God. Hallelujah. You don't worry. Travis, I told him one time in my truck, the change, I just throw change, and Teresa cashes it in. Sometimes it's $200 or $300 a year. I'll just put it on the counter, and she goes and puts it in a jar, whatever, she rolls it, whatever she does. And she used to, Travis wanted to borrow money, and she'd say, I got some quarters. He didn't need to borrow it as bad if you just don't whoop $100 on him or $20. If you give him quarter rolls, it's embarrassing, I guess. It'll choke that pride out of you. That Weston had to come out. That Weston, you know, Weston. That Weston Heritage. You know, that Weston can't walk up in there when you begin to give, you give them hundos and now you're having to give them penny rolls. The Bible says, Weston, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He can, you don't have to have pennies later. But you got to humble yourself, right? The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. If the Lord had wanted him to have $1 million that time, don't you think he could have done it? Right? What's he doing? Teaching him to be thankful with the pennies. Teaching him to drive the Volkswagen rusted down. You get up to an Escalade and you can't drive that no more. It'll hurt your image. That's not the righteous steps. The righteous steps are humble. Even when they are going to the top, they drive nice stuff. They're thankful, like Teresa sitting on the back porch. We believed our way to being debt-free. Was it easy? No, it was not easy. It was terrible. Terrible. It's terrible when you're having to kill that flesh. It's terrible at times when you're having to kill those that unbelief and doubt that we've let build up. It's terrible when we have leaned on things other than the Lord because we have ability and then it fails us and we have to learn to lean on Him. It's terrible. But boy, is it good. Teresa back there thanking the Lord. Hallelujah. I just told her the other day, I said, you know, if it hadn't have been for the cows, we wouldn't have had this. We're not broke today. Don't get mad. Tell the Lord, there's my example before me, Lord. I'm next. I'm going to be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed if you'll do it for Brother Scotty and Teresa, Lord. You'll do it for me and everybody in that church. Hallelujah. Don't get mad when people prosper. I hate to have to fight that myself, that I have to fight the notion that people are upset because I was on the bottom and I believed God and He led me through first grade and second grade and third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade. Took me on a spiritual journey into high school. Took me on a spiritual journey, still on it today, and then taught me how to obey Him and walk and end up at the right place at the right time and have the favor of God. I don't really like having to fight that people get upset when you prosper. But I've learned, praise God, if you're going to live like God, godly, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have people, who do they think they are? You know, and that's fine. But if you grow and develop and don't judge, and like Tricia was talking about, keeping your heart right, in a right spirit, a thankful heart, a rejoicing heart, hallelujah, to the Lord, I'm telling you, there's nothing that He will hold back to those that walk upright. Not spiritually, not physically, not financially. So He says, if God has ordered your steps, victory's there. Give me that Psalms 30, whatever it is, Beth. 37? Yeah. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I hadn't been saved very long when this happened. I went down and Teresa wanted to get her a nice truck. I had been saved very long, and my credit was bad and just starting out and everything. But I had faith. I'm telling you, I just had faith in God. I went in there and I told that guy, I said, I want this truck. I want to buy this truck for my wife. And I hadn't went and inquired to her about it. I just wanted to bless her. You know, I wanted to have a nice truck. So I went in and he said, well, how's your credit? I said, it's terrible. I said, I don't have none. I said, fact of the matter, my daddy co-signed with me with the truck, and I let it go back before I got saved. I let it go back. You know, when I was on it, I earned daddy's credit and mine, you know. And so he just looked at me and he said, I'll tell you like this, son. He's an older man. I said, yeah. He said, a good man get what he wants. I said, really? And I said, okay. So I went and got in my car, but God, and I thought, I'm good now because of Jesus. I am a good man. Right? Now the Lord's ordering my steps. You know what? She drove that truck for years with bad credit and everything else. I went and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not a good man because I've done anything right other than turn to you, Jesus Christ. But Lord, I know in my heart now that I will never let nothing go back. Lord, whatever I do, I'm going to set out and I'm going to have my mindset to victory. Lord, your Bible's full of it, and I knew none of it. I was 28. Well, you know what? God led me to do that. And when God led me put that goodness in my heart towards my wife, pray God, and I set out to do that good thing, God anointed that good thing. And she owned that one, and she owned many after that one. Just signs and wonders and miracles. See, the church has this idea sometimes, us that's been in it a while, and we forget how we didn't have, and we tithed when we couldn't afford it, and you know, and we gave when it was our last dollar, and we would give when it seemed to take away from us because we felt like give and it shall be given. We got to have a little compassion on the ones coming up behind us that ain't got it yet. And teach them that God is a faithful God. But you got to be humble and walk with God. Hallelujah. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He said, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God will hold you up. I've been young, this psalmist. I took this scripture back under and I thought to myself, I thought, I'm a young man right now, Lord, and I want this testimony in my life. You know, I'm a young man. But he said, I have been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. He said, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That's my son. That's y'all. Y'all are my spiritual seed. But he said, but David said, I've been old. I got that at 28 years old, Sandy, out of this Bible right here. And it reads the same thing right now as it did 28 years ago, 30. He said, the psalmist said, I went around saying, Lord, I'm young and I'm going to be old. And I'm never going to see those that follow you beg. I'm going to teach them we're not beggars. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's cross. And He can bring His anointing on your job, His anointing on your business, His anointing on your dreams, His anointing on your desires if you follow Him. Hallelujah. Verse 25, that tells us that he watched God from a young age to an old age, and he saw the righteous supplied. He saw them healed and delivered. He saw them supplied financially, materially. He saw God show up for them. Hallelujah. And then he said, I'm old and I've never seen. Now he didn't talk about the wicked. The Bible, in the Psalms, even writes about him. He said, they'll be cut off. They won't get the blessing. They won't be walking in this. Psalm 78, I'm going to get into some things here for the next few minutes. You know, Psalm 78, God brought it up to me this morning. What's that Proverbs? I got that Proverbs. Did I give you a Proverbs? I didn't. How terrible. I should have remembered that one. I'm trying to think of exactly what it says. I know what it says. It says, man makes plans. Proverbs 26 something. Man makes plans. We should. Right? We should. It says, but God directs the heart. I make plans. I don't plan to ever get a bad job. But I get them. Right? I've wanted to quit my job because of unfavorable circumstances. I just had the opportunity to quit one. I went and told them and showed them and spent money to get on that job and left there, and they was having to redo it. I get back to the job. And then I pull my hat off. I told it in the men's meeting. And I threw it down, man. And I mean, I rubbed my head and I wanted to scream. I wanted to say, get in that truck. We're going home. I wanted to wanted to tell them, you're going to pay me this and this right here for what I have, $50 an hour. See, if it ain't costing you, you sure ain't got a reason to complain. Y'all that are complaining on your jobs, I'm a businessman. I spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for that boy to work and my employees to work. I buy trucks. I buy fuel. I believe God for all of that. I believe God for the equipment. I believe God for the ability. I believe God for the money. I believe God for their bonuses. I believe God, and it cost me. See, why I'm telling you that is if you're working and you're clocking in somewhere, if God ordered your steps, then why are you griping about your job? There ain't but one reason. It's all about you. Now, God's not, I mean, He's just trying to enlighten us and stuff here. Because Psalm 78, they limited God. That's terrible. I don't want God not to pay my house off. I don't want Him not able to keep my business up. I don't want Him not able to come in there and bring breakthroughs. If I had did what I did yesterday, Friday, and done that, I am the boss. I can do it. And it wouldn't have broke me. I would never have lost, even known I lost the money. It would have cost me $5,000. To have a fit. Right? Who is it about? Me. Because I've spent money. Because I played my life down for them. Because I put my life off for them. Y'all can say that about your life if you clock in from 7 to 5 or whatever your hours are. You can do it. I quit my job because they hired a dispatcher that was stupid. To me. Stupid to me. I know how to drive that truck. I've been driving that truck for 10 years. And you load it backwards. And now you're going to cause me to be home at 6:30 instead of 5 because of your stupid loading that truck. So I went to him, man, look, you know, blah, 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 blah. He said, look, I'm going by these people and what I've told them that what I would do for them. I hadn't even considered that. He's doing the best he can do. And so I quit. I didn't turn in notices back then till I got a little older in the Lord. Then I started turning in notices if I was going to quit and then teaching everybody that's the God's way of doing it. Used to, I just quit. So I just quit. I went home, Teresa, but God dang, they're stupid. They're stupid over there. I'm telling you, I'm in my living room and I'm just going with a good old anointed satanic anointed sermon. I'm spewing out satanic anointing in my living room. I can tell you right now, stupid. That's the stupidest thing they ever done. If my boss cared anything about me, he wouldn't have put this guy in here. He's making me backtrack and sending me down to places that's stupid. They shouldn't even send my big truck in there. You can't get a Toyota in there. So I went home and I said, but God, I quit. I'm anointed of God. I'm called to preach. But God, hallelujah, I'm going to get paid for the gospel. That's what. I bless God. The Bible says, muzzle not the ox that treads out the corn. I go to preaching. I'm preaching to the choir. Teresa's in the living room. I got done. She said, oh my God, you're backslid. I'm like, what do you mean backslid? Yeah, because it ain't you out there having to face all this that I'm having to sacrifice. I'm not telling you my story. I'm telling you what happened to me, and God wouldn't let me get a dime until I went back and apologized to that company and went back to work and had to like it. I told Teresa, I said, I'll do side jobs. Listen, I'm not a lazy guy. I ain't never been lazy. When I started getting fat, I asked Teresa, I said, what's fat? How's fat feel? Because I thought, maybe it feels like fat right here. You know, and she said, what? She said, what are you asking me for? I said, it's just a question. I said, I don't know. I'm feeling tight around the waist or something here. She said, well, it's heavy. It's stretchy. I said, oh, my God, it's hit me. I'm getting fat. It's taking me longer to walk forward. Anyways, I go down there, praise God, hallelujah. I told her, I said, I'm going to do side. I couldn't even get a side job. I couldn't even buy no tomatoes. I couldn't. Nothing that used to work for me would work. Why? Because I'm out of the steps of the righteous. I'm out. And I didn't even know Psalm 78 yet, where it says that God brought them out. See, look, he can done miracles in your life back yonder. He can done signs, paid your house off, healed your body, delivered your wife, delivered your husband, and all that. But that ain't going to keep you right now. I'm just telling you right now. Obedience to the Lord is what's going to keep you advancing into things of the kingdom of God. Well, I go down there and I repent and everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the Lord told me. I drove. That was my truck. See, if y'all driving, or it's your machine. Nobody can't touch your machine. That's not your machine. I loan my trucks. He don't like it, and I don't care. Travis, if he wants to buy it, then he can tell me what to do with it. Right? That'd be like me going to Georgia's house. Georgia, I like that step side, baby. We brothers and everything God said I lay my hands to, I can have. I'm going to drive yours. He'd pull out his 30-06 or 9mm and say, look, Pastor, If you want to pay me for this truck, you can come to my house and get it anytime you want to. Right? I'm making a natural scenario in over here in this kingdom thing. You know. Travis and my employees are privileged to work in an atmosphere of God. That they never get chewed out. They never get cussed out. Because I am endeavoring as a boss, and you should as an employee, to be the best thing that ever happened to that company, because you never complain. You never complain. Never. Come on, somebody, y'all in here with me? Are we going to be the least complaining churches in Alabama? We're not going to complain about our wives anymore. We're not going to complain about our kids anymore. We're not going to complain about our light bill anymore. We're not going to complain about our water bill anymore. We're not going to complain about our insurance going up and our house payments. I got the right church. Y'all are destined to go into powerful things in God. God was good, Pat, to me, to cause me to get rid of that Western mentality that I deserve. I've been driving for you 10 years. I've been away from my wife and my son. I thought I watched Monty and him. This is wonderful. I watched that little girl, you know, their little granddaughter. Get back here, and she's all rowdy, you know, crying, wanting her way and all of that. And now she's back there pretty cool, and Monty, he told the little one, the little boy, the little brother, he went, shh, shh. He went, he's telling them, don't tell me what to do, man. I'm trying to be free here. I'm trying to pray. And I told him, I said, whoo, y'all doing good. You're going to get about 6 more grandkids. Damien's getting married. They're just getting started training. They're going to bring them all to church, and they're going to go. Now they got some experience with the second one. Yeah. Stick the leg out. Yeah. Smack the hand a little. Woo! I'm telling you, they're going to be experts time Blake gets married and has kids. I'm telling you, they'll be experts. Then here comes the great-great-grandkids, whatever. Aubrey's 10. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not going into this ignorant. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, everything that we go through is our opportunity. Don't look at it like the devil. I went down there to that guy and I apologized to him. I said, I want to apologize to you. I want to tell you that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I had a fit like my little boy does at times when he don't get what he wants. I'm sorry because it was all about me, because the things that I thought you were doing, you know, and it was causing hardship if you'd have done it another way to my thinking. That's judging. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I said, and whatever from here out, I said, I'm going to pass every test. Don't you even think about that happened to try to persuade you from doing your job like you were doing, because I was wrong. My boss trusted you that you would do that. He paid you good money. And I've got to learn through God how to submit to something that I don't believe it can be done different. And I've got to learn to submit to God and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, if you want me to go 5 different ways other than what I know would be the quickest, that's none of my business. I'm getting paid. Just go do it. Right? And then if I seem to be getting unfairly paid or whatever, I'm going to praise you. I told this one right here. I can't think of your name right now. Chloe. I love her. I bought them 3-wheeler or something. I don't know. 4-wheel something. It was a struggle. Travis hates it when I do that. We'll be on the job and we got to go pick it up. Ha! I'm ready to go home. We got to go pick y'all's stuff up. He don't get paid for all my goodness. I told her. She's working down here to a job. Look, Jax is not bad place to work. Don't look at Jack's bad. If you think it's bad, don't go down there and get a burger. If it's that bad, that you're going to tell your kids or your grandkids that's too low of a place to work, that's terrible. No, that is one of the best restaurants in Bluntsville. We do it Southern style. Give me some of that other, little extra salt they used to have to go on them French fries. But I told her she's working at a job. She's probably not making very much. She probably really may not even like going to work like the rest of us. And y'all that's done retired, you don't even wash your dishes. Right? That's your job. Right? You don't want to clean the house. You get tired of that, right? Tired of that. Some of you just retired. You used to be real social. You sat at home and you're tired of staying at home by yourself. In every circumstance as believers, we got to learn to praise the Lord. I told her, I said, that's not where you're going to stay. The Lord is going to increase her more and more as she walks and she gives to the Lord and she builds the kingdom and she obeys the Lord. I don't look at you right now and say this is terrible where you're at right now. It's miserable. I know it's miserable. And go get Aiden's pacifier and give it to you and say, gosh, you're going to be... No, I jerk it out and say, go, soldier. Go over there and be the best you can be at what you do. Do it as unto the Lord. And the Lord watches, and the Lord said, I'm going to take you to the place, and you're going not to lack anything. You're going to have the best life because you wanted a good life. You wanted this, and your desires were this, and you couldn't seem to get them. But I'm going to take you to the place to where you will not lack anything, he says, because you're following him. See, when Travis and these young boys right here, when he's coming up, he's like, come on, babe, I'm going to. I told Teresa, I said, he's going to work for the other man. I've got to send him away from daddy. So I sent him to work, Pat, for somebody else. I did it because I wanted him to learn how to submit to authority. I wanted him to learn how to submit for $50 a day, $40 a day, $30 a day. He told me one time, he said, Dad, and my emotions, I wanted to call my brothers and say, are y'all stupid? Is he not worth more than that? Why? Because of daddy. And I love him. And he's worth more than that. The devil. It's not the devil. He calls me up and he says, hey, he says he's sick. He said he's throwing up. He said, you want me to bring him home? And I said, absolutely not. Do not bring him home. I said, let him stay there and work. If he passes out, get a wash rag. That's what Mama used to do. Shoot, we'd pass out there in that cotton field. Just get a wash rag and wash our face off. Get back on that mule. I said, no, don't bring him home. Let him stay and work. I said, he's got to learn that you don't only go when it's easy. You go when it's hard. You go when it's challenging. You go when you feel like you're not getting rewarded enough. I couldn't get a raise from my boss without getting chewed out. And 10 cents an hour is about all I ever got. That's not much. 10 cents an hour. You want to go home and borrow daddy's gun because you don't own one, go back and shoot him. And then he tells me, he says, how much am I? I said, you're going to make minimum wage. Why? So-and-so makes that. And I said, that's nothing to you. I don't care what he, and I told him, I said, now I'm telling you, I'm just telling you this, so don't go down there when you want a job and say, how much you paying? What do you think you're worth? You can't make them a dime. You know nothing. They're going to have to train you to do that job. Right? They're going to have to pay you. And then if you have that kind of attitude, they'll get you trained, you'll leave, and they wasted their money. See, the church can't have this mentality, us parents or us teenagers. That place that they've been there a long, I've been down here 30-something years, they've been there that long. They have bought air conditions. They have bought trucks, delivery trucks, bags, all kinds of, it costs them hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to give our children and grandchildren jobs. We need to be thankful they're there. It's just like this, Travis, I used to feel guilty a little. Because I'm like, man, we don't work 3 or 4 days a week, man. We make good money and blah, blah, blah. And Travis, he thought it before, man. I said, we're blessed. It's not what I do to work for you. It's what you do that God says for you that's going to work for you. That's going to be where the favor of God is on your life. That's where you're going to see the increase of God. And I told Travis, I said, we do ministry. I said, God did it. See, if I don't work but 2 days, I work two or three ministry-wise doing something. Wednesdays, go get the food. Rain, shine, sleet, snow. They give me a key. They don't even show up anymore. And I'm like, man, I got to do it all. I go up there and they got a truck parked in there where I load. And I'm like, what? I go over there and there ain't no key in there. I didn't call up. Are you stupid? I was in a hurry. I needed to be back by 9:30. I got life planned out here. No, I go over there and find me somewhere it's a little harder for me to load. And I back in there and I praise God. I'm getting y'all's food for you to serve God. Right? Hallelujah. Somebody just told me, they said they charging us more for the food. I told Teresa, I said, God just said send them more. We don't buy that food. They get that off. See, you serve God, and you serve God with gladness. Stop griping about your job. I'm telling you right now. And y'all that are coming up, and look, go start out at $50, 50 cents an hour if you need to. Bring 5 cents of that 50 cents in tithe and give it to God. You could own that place. The Bible says for you not to think more high of yourself than you ought to. For me to not think, somebody told me the other day, they said, that's your son? I said, yeah. He said, man, y'all work very well together. He said, you don't see that. You don't see that. And I looked at him and I said, that's Jesus. I said, that's Jesus. I said, but I don't feel like I'm boss. I said, although I own the company, I don't have to be out here working right now. I do not have to go to work if I don't want to. But God wants me to, so I do have to. Right? And I told him, I said, I learned this down where I work, that I'm a team player at this big company that I work. And if I'm up to bat and everybody's depending on me, I need to swing to get a home run. My brother, he went, I'll close with this. Keeping y'all longer and longer, getting used to it. We're getting used to it. See, if you have trouble with long services, God's got your number. Now, if I'm just in the flesh, different story. I need to shut it down, but I'm not. Preston, he calls me up, he gets a semi. He comes, he gets burnt out on garage doors and blah, blah, blah. And this is his motto, maybe you listen to me, it's good, fine. So I mean, every time he rises up and goes after God in something, you know, and starts trusting God, that thing prospers. I'm talking about prospers. I mean, he just goes to making money all of a sudden, just boom. And he starts believing for this semi. And I mean, it wasn't just about 3 weeks went by. The dude owns a 2016 Freightliner. Owns it. I mean, completely owns it. Has a flat trailer. And gets hooked up, you know, starts going to make money. And then he goes down there and he figures this somehow. He gets hooked in with this company and that company where he can work both of them. And then he goes down there and he's like, well, I'm going to overdo it, man. So he goes down there and he picks up about three trailers and pulls them over here where they could load him three trailers at one time, because he's going to come in there, he's getting by production. And so he goes down there and he says, man, you got them trailers? He said, oh, you can't do that. I said, well, how come? He said, well, them other guys are getting mad because I'm getting all the loads. I said, oh, that's terrible. They go down there to get a trailer, and so gung-ho, taking all the trailers. Spent a half a night going to pull everybody's trailer down there for himself. They're company-owned trailers. But what I'm saying, I told him, I said, it's good to have that kind of gusto, though, man. Just don't do that. You're liable to get hurt down there. How familiar with the anointing doing that? Praise God. But he's going to pull in 1,000 a day there. 1,000 a night there. He must be in his 30s. No, he's younger than me, and he looks older than me. God keeps Scotty looking real good. Real good. Hallelujah. Praise God. So my bottom line here that I believe God is wanting to get to us because of where he's taking us here in 2026. Be thankful for everything. Don't complain about our jobs. I'm telling you, I have opportunity every day. If it's going to cost you $10,000 a day, you'll find out that I got a little more incentive to complain than some do that's clocking in. Right? Or ain't having to put out anything. This time might be even harder. But don't complain about your job. Believe God. I'm talking about believe God to bless you going in. Keep a thankful heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's what it's about. That thankfulness, it'll cause you to stay in faith. It'll cause you to stay encouraged. It'll cause you to stay in hope. Hallelujah. That there's more than where you're standing and what you're looking at and what you're feeling and what it might be costing you right now, because the life of Jesus in our life to come forth is going to cost a sacrifice to have the nature of God. I'm telling you, I'm going to prosper. The first quarter already is exceeded last year's first quarter in my life. It used to take me a year to make $13,000. Don't take me very long now. God is a good God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And it's not all about money, but I'm